Welcome to another episode of Katie and Blue Go to the Movies.
I'm Katie Chevney.
And I'm Blue Chevney.
So, how hungry are you?
I'm kind of hungry, but I did wolf down some edamame and a few bites of ramen and had about a third of a beer, so I'm ready to rock. I feel like we should clarify for listeners, because I know there's been some questions as to what the hell we're doing eating ramen. And when we say ramen, we're not referring to
the
your 1980s
little...
ramen,
right.
Which was the dried, rehydrated
right.
noodle. We're talking about the kind that you can get now in New York City that's like really high quality and delicious.
It's like Japanese comfort food.
Delicious.
Yeah, food. Delicious. Okay, so that's the kind of ramen we're
okay.
talking about. Okay.
So this week.
This week, we're going to talk about two films that we saw.
They're not the two films we thought we might talk about at the end of last time we spoke to you.
And we warned you that that might be the case.
We saw two movies that we liked a little better than that.
Harold and Kumar, Escape from Guantanamo Bay.
And Iron Man.
So when did you see those movies, Blue?
I saw them last week. And we went to see Harold and Kumar Escape from Guantanamo Bay. And then we were walking out and we realized that Iron Man was playing in three theaters in the multiplex and that one of them was starting in about 10 minutes. So we saw Iron Man in a double feature.
I saw Harold and Kumar and Iron Man in a double feature too.
Yeah. You saw Harold and Kumar first?
Mm-hmm.
By the time I was watching like the second half of Iron Man, I had some movie fatigue. I'm just going to be honest. So I'm not sure I saw Iron Man with the same level of interest and fascination that I might have brought to it on
right.
a day when I hadn't just watched another movie.
You bring up a point, which is I think that people who talk about films should be more transparent about the circumstances under which they saw the films, because it can have such a profound effect on how you feel about the film.
Totally.
You know, so like we're saying we saw them in a double feature and we were kind of tired by the time Iron Man, which is really fucking long anyway, was rolling along.
And also, I am
full disclosure,
very strongly of the opinion that who I'm seeing the movie with.
Yes.
And what the mood of the audience is and what the mood I'm in, all of these play enormous roles. Some movies, you watch it with a crowded,
yeah.
uproarious audience and it's like hilarious. And then you watch it with an empty audience and it's like clunky.
Right. I spent my Saturday night going to a 6:45 Harold and Kumar and a 9:30 Iron Man.
Wow.
With like a 40-minute break in between the two.
Mm-hmm.
And it was kind of interesting because I go to the movies so rarely by myself. It actually was kind of liberating. Like, I think I wouldn't have laughed at as many of the jokes in Harold and Kumar if I'd been there with somebody else, because there's so many like really vulgar, raunchy jokes, but I didn't care. And like everybody was out on dates, you know, pretty much,
right.
or packs of teens going to the movies. And there was I. And I think I was on a caffeine high.
Wow.
Because I was in a really good mood through both movies. I was like totally awake. You know, I think it, you know, wasn't the drug that Harold and Kumar were on, but just puts me in a mood where like I can just totally go with the flow.
Anyway.
So what'd you think of Harold and Kumar?
I thought it was really funny. I love Harold and Kumar.
I know. They're so lovable. They're
I know.
Both so like adorable and awesome.
In a weird way, I think Harold and Kumar movies are chick flicks because I find Harold and Kumar so adorable.
Yeah.
And fun
yeah.
to watch from like a chick perspective.
Yeah. They're like unconventional heartthrobs.
Right. What did you think of the movie?
I really liked it too. I mean, I feel like it was the same as White Castle in that there were some scenes that were just unwatchably stupid. You're like, how the hell did this scene ever get into the movie?
Right.
But there's some scenes I would like to watch many times again because they were so funny. I've been saying this for years that ethnic jokes need to be made more. Like, I think people have a real appetite for ethnic jokes.
I mean, what are the ethnic jokes? I mean, what do you mean by ethnic jokes?
Well, I mean, there was a lot of like spoofing of racism and spoofing of ethnic stereotypes.
Well, there's spoofing of ethnic stereotypes, but it's like they all get debunked.
Well, right. First, they share the ethnic joke and then they turn it on its head.
Yeah. One of my favorite scenes was the flashback to when they were like freshmen in college.
Yeah.
Kumar is like a total nerd and he's never smoked pot. And then he meets the girl and she introduces him to pot. And then Harold walks into the frame and he's like a Flock of Seagulls
yeah.
band member.
That was totally reminiscent of people we know.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. I feel like I can identify with those guys a little bit, too. Like, I think it's
Harold
got
and Kumar.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like it just gets me in touch with my inner child of Asian immigrants, you know?
Right.
Like, that, especially the two of them combined, if they're like alter egos of each other. Like, Harold's the kind of like uptight, I want to get straight A's, I don't want to piss anybody off, let's be polite to people, you know, let's follow the rules. He's kind of the status quo guy.
Right.
And then Kumar's the like, let's be a little bit more rebellious. But they both think the general white America is kind of bullshit. They just have different ways of dealing with it.
The only really bad people in the movie are the white people. And the only really stupid people in the movie are the white people.
Which is totally dealable with.
Yeah.
And I thought it was hilarious that they get high with George Bush.
And they made it like if he would only go on drugs, like pot again, he'd be like a much cooler guy, and he'd realize like all these things he was doing were wrong.
That was hilarious. Because
he was like, yeah, you know, I'm not really against the immigrants or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like all his policies stem from the fact that he's like a sober drug addict or something.
A sober ex-addict.
Yeah.
But I also think most of the reviews were kind of like another vulgar movie about boys and sex. They just happen not to be white, which is the same way I saw White Castle reviewed, which is why I didn't go see it initially, because people were like, it's just a moronic Porky's-like movie. And I just feel like, are the reviewers too old and too white to get it or what? Because like, it's totally different than those movies. It's so much more enjoyable.
Yeah.
I just feel like it's not getting as good reviews as it should, because people are a little put off by, or just alienated. Like, I think people see it and they're like, I can't relate.
Right.
Yeah. What about Iron Man?
Yeah. Iron Man.
Iron Man, which got more favorable reviews than Harold and Kumar.
And is nowhere near as good of a movie.
Much more standard fare.
Yeah.
I get the feeling I liked it more than you did. I mean, I fully enjoyed it while I was watching it. The half-life of the Iron Man enjoyment, you know what I mean, is a little, it like decays in the mind every day. So now it's been 72 hours since I've seen it, and each day it's like slightly less likable. I think maybe Robert Downey Jr. is not as awesome as I thought. I thought he was really cute, and I think he has major star power. I liked watching him on screen a lot.
I totally agree. I thought Harold Downey Jr. I thought Robert Downey Jr., he was the movie.
Yeah.
There's nothing else about that movie that's memorable at all.
Yeah.
And Jeff Daniels? No.
No, Jeff Bridges.
Jeff Bridges was completely forgettable as the bad guy.
Yeah.
And Gwyneth Paltrow, who I can't help it. I like
me
her.
Me too.
I mean, it wasn't a good role. It wasn't a big role. It wasn't memorable.
Yeah, and they did that thing.
But I think she's so pretty. I can't get over it.
Well, they did.
She's so pretty. She's got those freckles.
She's so pretty. I mean, she's kind of pretty.
I think she's very pretty.
Blue just cares about whether or not they're hot. They did that thing also where she started out in the beginning of the movie looking kind of plain Jane. I mean, it's that like kind of like comic book thing where she had her hair pulled back and not that much makeup. And then at the end, her hair's like flowing down and she has like makeup and jewelry and the little black dress and the high heels, you know?
Yeah. So she's girled out.
Totally girled out. And yeah. It's like the thing they always do in those movies where in the critical scene when like the bad guy's about to like ruin the world and our hero could really use our leading lady's help, and she's dressed inappropriately. Like, that just happens again and again and again. For example, I think it was first noted in Raiders of the Lost Ark. Karen Allen, you remember at the end in the snake pit, and she's wearing like the long flowing white dress, and the rest of the movie, she's in like blue jeans, ready to kick ass with any like Nepali bad guy who wanders into her lodge or whatever the hell.
But I mean, if you really want to get into it, in an analysis of Raiders of the Lost Ark, I mean, the reason that she is reduced to wearing that crazy outfit is because she's being used as a sex object by that Nazi French guy.
Well, sure. But I think basically what I'm thinking is when those guys are sitting in the room writing these screenplays and trying to make it all fit, they're like, what plot device are we going to use to get her in the cute outfit before the last scene? So she's running around, stumbling over debris/snakes /broken glass/bombs.
In like a white evening gown.
In a crazy, inappropriate outfit. Yeah. And in fact, the theater I was in, it was like both movies had really fun, active audiences cracking up and making, you know, wisecracks.
We're back in Iron Man now.
We're back in Iron Man. There's one kind of good suspense thing when she meets with Jeff Bridges and she suddenly realizes that he knows that she's taken the information that proves that he's the evil guy. And she's walking out of the building and you're like, oh my God, he's going to kill her right now. And you just see her walking down the stairs. Mm-hmm. And the woman sitting behind me was like, take off those shoes. Because she's like walking down this treacherous staircase in high heels. And I had the same reaction, like, pull those shoes off and run.
Right, you know? Right.
And that makes, that adds to the suspense because you're like, she can't really move that quickly.
Okay, I just want to get back to why I love her. And it's not just that she's so pretty. I like identify with her. I think she's like a real seeming lady, more so than your average like actress.
So you get in touch with your inner Gwyneth Paltrow.
I get in touch with my inner Gwyneth Paltrow. And then her face, there's just something like, oh yeah, you know, I could hang out with that girl.
Girl next door type deal.
Yeah, I mean, she's gorgeous and like, you know, looks more Hollywood starish than most of my friends. But there's something about her that's like my peeps.
Yeah, she seems intelligent and whatnot.
Yeah.
So some of the things I didn't like about Iron Man, I didn't like the Rambo like anti-jihadi stuff in Afghanistan. I thought that was totally
lame.
You know what I did not get in touch with was my inner boy who loves comic books.
I know. I wasn't getting in touch with my inner boy who loves gadgets either.
Yes.
Like he has this really cool super new age computer where he can like stand up, pull the screen up and it's like virtual in front of him. And then he can like pull the virtual blah, blah, blah.
Which was already done in Minority Report like 8 years ago.
Okay. Yeah. It's like Minority Report all over again. Plus it was just like, okay, that's cool. Your computer's cooler than mine. You know, I just didn't get like into watching it. It wasn't like visually interesting.
Yeah. I kept thinking he was kind of like a cool laptop because he just had all that computer stuff and kind of like a groovy screen.
Oh,
inside.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then when he's like falling through the air at the end and they're like, battery power at 15%, battery power at 12%. I was like, this is just total laptop lingo. And then they were like, we're now running on reserve power. And I was like, shut that laptop down.
Or plug in your thing to the thing at the coffee shop on the wall.
Yeah, exactly. Find that power outlet. You can do it, Iron Man. Then go find the bad guy.
It was like, yep.
Yeah. Okay, so I'm actually really excited about the next thing we're going
to
do.
Me too, and I think we can commit to it. We're going to talk about the new Indiana Jones movie and...
that Helen Hunt movie that's been out for a couple of weeks. What the fuck is it called?
It's got a really terrible, unmemorable name. Then She Found Me, right?
Then She Found Me. Yeah. No.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
I had a thought, though, Blue, which is I was thinking maybe we should rewatch the old original Raiders of the Lost Ark.
And we have a lot to say about the original Raiders of the Lost Ark because Katie and I saw it in 1981 when it came out.
No, we saw Temple of Doom together.
No, we didn't, Katie.
Blue.
This is
totally
so annoying.
Wrong.
This is so annoying because Katie likes to pretend shit happened when we were kids.
Oh my God.
That didn't happen.
You are so full of shit.
And deny that other shit happened that did happen.
You know how come I remember it was Temple of Doom? Because Temple of Doom was scarier.
No. We were in Lowe's 84th Street, second row, on the left. I wanted to leave right after the boulder chases him down into the cave. I'm like, let's go,
no.
I'm scared. And
no.
You were like,
you're
no.
Totally misremembering. I saw Raiders of the Lost Ark with a pack of kids.
No, you didn't.
You're claiming that you and I went together as tiny children to see Raiders of the Lost Ark.
I was 10, and you were 13.
Really?
1981, my friend.
Well, these and other conundrums will be revisited in our next podcast. I'm Katie Chevigny.
I'm Blue Chevigny.
You've been listening to
Katie and Blue Go to the Movies.